There are four levels of the prophetic. There is the spirit of prophecy. There is the gift of prophecy. There is the office of a prophet. But there is the more sure word of prophecy, which is the prophecy of the scripture. That is the final authority. When the word of God has said something, it's enough for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The word of God itself is prophetic. But I hear from God. We went on that retreat and we wanted, and I took a team of ministers, you know, some of my friends who I know that have integrity. And at the end of it, we wanted, what it was one question: God, Lord, have you changed your plan for Nigeria? I know enough already. What is this thing going on? Have you changed your plan? Have you changed your mind? The first answer God gave us was the prophecy of the scripture. He gave us that quotation that you all know. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Do you know what he means? You can project it for them. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. I said, but what about all the mistakes and our leaders, our failures? He said, people's failures does not cancel their purpose. The only problem is, if you don't obey God, you might end up fulfilling that purpose like Jacob with a limp. There are some people, they end up there with a limp. You might you know what the meaning of without repentance. God does not change his mind about what he has proposed for you. Actually, let me say something else. See, another way. There's another way the Bible will talk about this. It calls it the immutability of God's counsel. Do you know what that means? The plan of God, the unchanging nature of God's counsel. There are things that change. There are things that change. Methods change. Strategies change. And whenever battle changes hand, God changes strategy. There are other things that change in life. But there are some things that are unchanging. For example, when you deal with God, principles, biblical principles are like iron fixed laws. They don't change. You cannot civilize principles. You cannot modernize principles. Let me give you an example. With all our civilization, we have not been able to civilize gravity. With all our advancement, we have not been able to advance rainfall. With all technological breakthroughs, we have not been able to break through snow. We have not been able to break through seasons. Eh? I watched the sunset this evening. And I was looking out of the window, you know, getting ready to come here. I was looking at it. It dawned on me, since the creation of the world, this thing has been going down and has been rising and has been setting. That's how God said, for example, he said, why the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall never cease. One of those areas you don't meddle with is the eternal purpose of God. Now, I don't mind telling you that there is an injunction in this area when it comes to personal prophecy. Personal prophecy. Personal prophecy. So if I step away from the prophecies of the scripture, I'm moving to personal prophecy, maybe gift of prophecy, or it might even be the office of a prophet at work. And you get to Jeremiah chapter 18, he will make statements like this. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go to the potter's house. There, I will show you the word of the Lord. So Jeremiah got up and went to the potter's house, and then the potter was making a clay, and making a vessel from clay. And he made it and made it. If I assume that it was a cup, it was molding, or a plate. And halfway, he took the vessel he has made and marred it in his hands. And then made a different vessel altogether from the same clay. So can you see what happened here? He was going to make a vessel and was making a cup. But the Bible said, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter. He changed his mind and made a different vessel out of that clay. So when Jeremiah saw this, the Lord now said, go and tell the house of Israel, I'm the potter, you are the clay. Can I not do with you like this clay, like the potter deals with the clay? And Jeremiah was wondering, what exactly are you trying to say? He now gave him the message that personal prophecies are conditional. The prophecies of scriptures are eternal. You can't change it. But personal prophecies are conditional. In other words, it doesn't matter, you can go around jumping, God said this about me. There are things that you're supposed to do. There are responses that he expects from you. If you don't do that, that prophecy can fail. I don't think you heard me well. What is the message that he gave Jeremiah there? He said, when I speak concerning a nation like Nigeria, to build, to plant, to establish, if I speak concerning an individual and I single this man out, I'm going to make you a prophet. I'm going to make you the greatest evangelist of the 21st century. You're going to be greater than Billy Graham. You're going to go around the nations. You're going to bring millions of souls and all of that. And that word is true. It's from God. The Lord now said to Jeremiah, if that person or that nation for whom I have spoken all these good things start doing evil in my sight, he said, the good that I spoke concerning them will be annulled. And instead of the good prophecy, they will receive judgment and punishment instead. If I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build it, to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said I will benefit it. And then the next verse. Let's look at when the prophecy is negative. The instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, to destroy it, like now that the drums of war, drums of calamity is going all over Nigeria, and then people are dreaming dreams, coming up with negative prophecies. All those dreams are not the point. There is something else stronger than prophecy. It's called principles. You see, principles applied, either broken or cooperated with, will decide whether a prophecy will come to pass or not. I don't think you heard me well. You can come here now, go under whatever, and prophesy anything you like about me. Prophesy you are going to be poor. Prophesy you are going to whatever. It won't change nothing. What will decide my outcome will be my obedience to God laid down principles or disobedience to it. That's what he was telling them here. If I speak concerning a nation that I will destroy it, I will pull it down. If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent from the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. Somebody gave a prophecy, you are going to die. Then the prophet got angry. I don't care what your name is called, whether you are Jonah or somebody. When you give a prophecy to a nation or give a prophecy to an individual, it's conditional. Doesn't matter what you say, it's not ultimate. What the individual does with God laid down principle will decide his future. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? I'm even feeling a tremendous anointing just saying this. Because the word of God has its own authority. The ultimate authority is the prophecy of the scriptures. Can I bring two guys? Come up. I'm looking for a third guy that has whites. No. I know you want to come. It's white. I'm looking for you just for illustration. Come. It's all right. You're not completely on white. Okay, be here. And here. At the back. Then you in the front here. Now, this is how God operates. Whenever God wants to go here, this is what he wants to accomplish. It doesn't start here. He doesn't. According to the law of purpose, God will finish his purpose, conclude the goalpost, set it. Then he will now go to the center like referees and say, let's start the ball. God fixes the end before he starts the beginning. That's the way God operates. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is here. This is where God is going. I want to show you Nigeria now. I want to show you Nigeria. And you can take what I'm telling you to the bank. When it's all over, you will see what I've told you today. This is where God is going. But this is what God does in time. In eternity, he finishes his purpose. But in time, he now goes to start here. It's like your life. When they get back to you, and then the time clock of your purpose started. That's not when you start. In God's plan, eternal plan, you have been finished before he came in time to start you. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? But now, here is the mystery. Why does God not start with the end? Because Satan pries into the plan of God and he wants to thwart it. The plan of God cannot fail as far as God is concerned. But the plan of God can fail as far as man is concerned. What it means is that a generation can lose it. He might get another generation to continue with that plan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? An individual can lose it. He might get another person to continue with that plan. For example, bring the people out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. That's the mandate given to Moses. He succeeded with bringing them out. But there was something he did in the course of the journey. And God said, taking them in, you will not do it. I'm going to get another person to complete that part. Because you struck the rock twice. The plan goes on and it will finally be finished according to God's eternal purpose. But the individual, by failing to cooperate with God, can shoot himself on the leg. So he says, stand on this mountain, see the land. Yes, I told you before that you are the one that will lead them in. But now, because of this thing, you will have to stop here. Joshua will have to finish it up. There's also another way to look at it. Another way to look at it is that sometimes leaders see more than they are actually supposed to do. It means that everything a leader sees, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's the one to implement. So he has to prepare a team, prepare the next generation to keep, take that thing to where it's going. A vision is given to an individual, but it's fulfilled by a group, not fulfilled by an individual. That's part of another way to look at it. But let me show you something. Okay. Now, why does God now start here? This is where he's going. He comes and starts here. This is Nigeria. Because Satan always attacks the plan of God in the hand of people. It is at the human level that he succeeds. So when he steps out here, guess what happened? Satan comes. Oh yeah, come. You are the Mr. Devil. You need to drop your paper somewhere because you need to fight. Your adversary, opposer, start fighting this man. Oh yeah, fight too, oh, you too. Now watch, watch, oh, watch. But as two of them collide, you're not fighting again, but gently, or not to. As two of them collide, guess what happens? The devil unknowingly brings in the other element that reacts to give God this. So you see, when God wants H2O, and he had decided that that's what he wants, he doesn't start with H2O, he will start with oxygen. The devil, usually thinking that he wants to neutralize God, will bring hydrogen. And guess what God gets? H2O. You are getting it. Go back here. Okay. Okay. Sit down. Let me explain something to you. Okay. There are two Adams. The first Adam, the one that fell, and the second Adam. Let me actually ask you. Those two Adams, which one is older? Is it the one that was made out of clay and they breathed on him? Or the one that was a quickening soul? Which one is actually older? In the spirit world, this one is older. It's Jesus. He was not created. He was there. He played a role in creating this other one. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? If you read your Bible, you see that in a plan, eternal plan of redemption, man was finished here. In Christ, not in Adam. But why is it that when God now came to time, it didn't start with Jesus? We didn't see Jesus in Genesis. Who did he start with? So what did the devil do? He came. Oh yeah, come again. And then, watch, oh, part of the story ended and Adam ate the fruit with his wife and they fell and they were kicked out. You know when you are watching a movie? If you're in the same room with the man that wrote the story or the producer that produced the movie, there will be times when you are having high blood pressure. Tension will be high, but he will be relaxed. Pastor Sarah took me to go and see a movie. You know Fast and Furious, the one that came out? I don't watch a lot of movies unless there is some good, you know, it's going to help my mind. It's part of education. But that Fast and Furious, if you have not seen it, especially, I took our top pastors to go and see it. Especially because of the message about family. It's all about family. Eh? But in the course of the journey, there was a time there was a confusion. There was a woman that showed up and looked like the leader got confused. You remember that part? And because Pastor Sarah has seen it, me, my blood was rising so much. And I was talking on the seat. I said, what kind of nonsense is this? What is wrong with this man? How can he do this? And she was smiling. I said, what is wrong with her? How can she just be smiling like it? I said, now women now, you know, they don't understand this. Then somewhere along the line, it looked like the man was walking against his own guy. I said, what is going on? I got up on the seat. I said, I don't like all these movies that end bad. I like good stories that end well. I was just stressing myself for nothing. I didn't know we were in the middle of chemical reaction. Until they finished synthesizing. And then the equation changed. And then by this time I was clapping. And my blood pressure has dropped. And I was, you know, that's why, if you know your BP is not good for football or something, so you need to be careful how you do it. Now, I don't have BP, but you know, And then the story ended here. So when Satan attacked Adam, he thought he had dealt with the plan. But in the eternal plan, the story said it was not that one, it was the second Adam. And that the plan was to bring all of us into sonship and to the place of glory. And that's where you and I are now. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? That was why when God came again in the garden and announced that the seed of woman will destroy the head of the serpent. Instead of bringing the seed of woman, Christ, they brought Cain and Abel. So Satan came again. Oh yeah, Cain. And he eliminated Abel. He said, we have dealt an eternal blow to the plan of God. Let me see how he will achieve it. And so they gave birth to Seth. Say, leave that one. We have dealt with the main guy. And the lineage started. All the way to Enoch, Methuselah, all the way to Noah, all the way to Abraham, and all the way to Jesus. And when he finally realized that there's something going on here, he said, oh, you are the one, eh? No wonder. I killed you before I'll kill you again. Put a cross on his back and he led him to the cross. The devil used his hand, put the nails. Prophecy said, by his nails, my salvation will come. The devil used his hand, pierced his side. The devil used his hand, laid the stripes on his back. Prophecy said, by his stripes, I will be healed. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Shout hallelujah! God only brought oxygen, the devil gave him hydrogen. And when he finished, the plan of redemption was completed and Jesus rose again from the dead. You need to sit down. Pastor Dave, I hope I get to my message I brought to you. If we don't, when I see you next, I'll be back. In October, I'll be passing through this side. I'll see you then. But see the point. Because South East, they are looking for direction. And not many ministers know, understand. People are saying all sorts of nonsense. So see, God brings, God's plan is synthesis, the final result. But he brings only the thesis. And Satan brings antithesis. And they react. When they react, they give God synthesis. When he brings antithesis, his plan is to neutralize God's thesis. Not knowing that thesis, it's just a component of where God is trying to go. Are you trying to understand? The things that you have faced, those different things, are helping to sew the fabrics of your story. Because in the movie that has been written about you, you are the principal actor. You are not dying. You are going to finish that. But there are other people acting in the same movie. Somebody broke your heart and left you. Give God thanks for it. Don't get bitter. The story is just in chapter 1. We still have 5 chapters to go. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Let that experience now lead you to go and master the subject of relationship. Go and get books. Go and attend seminars. Get all the things that you didn't know. Because what happened is that you were about to go into marriage with ignorance. But it's through wisdom a house is built.
But you are about to go into it without the resources. So that thing is not going to push you. Don't let it push you into bitterness. I hate all men. I don't believe in marriage. Marriage is evil. No. You are misinterpreting the script. I did not write this story, but by the help of God, I've been given insight. So I came here to give you direction and understanding. I went through some detours in my journey. The time I thought God abandoned me. No. He said, I will never leave you. No. Till when? The end of the age. Until the movie ends, God does not abandon people. Have that one written. It goes against the principles he laid down. God is a covenant-keeping God. It's only people that can abandon him. And even when you do, he's going to chase you. He's going to do his best. But because he cannot impose his will on your will, never will you find God abandoning people. God keeps covenants. God keeps his words. And this statement is unchanging. The faithfulness of God is not subject to weather. It's not subject to circumstances. I'll give you two examples and I'm out of this. When it was civil rights movement, God was going where he got to, where a black man can become president, where the blacks are as free as the whites, where they have voting rights and all the rights. He was going there. He started with Texas, Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement. Of course, something rose up in the U.S., the white supremacists and all the other groups that wanted to get them, shut them down. So in the course of that, Satan raised an antithesis. Everyone say Malcolm X. Now, watch. This man is talking about peaceful procession, non-violent. The antithesis is fire for fire. This one is talking about biblical values. This one is talking about nation of Islam, hatred for the whites. This one is talking about don't judge any man by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. This one is saying, forget about that. Let's give it to them, hate for hate. So this brought violence everywhere. And the two looked like they were against each other. But let me tell you what happened. Finally, John F. Kennedy came on the scene. And he looked at the two options and saw that this man that is civil, this man that is decent, this man that is talking about the whole America, not just the blacks alone. Let's give him this thing. Because if for any reason he enters the hands of this man, America is gone. And that's how, out of all that, a lot of the things that they were agitating for was signed into law by John F. Kennedy, and he finally died, and his VP, Lyndon Johnson, took over power and gave civil rights everything they were looking for at that time. When ANC in South Africa started their whatever against apartheid, they also learned from Martin Luther King Jr., learned from Gandhi in India. But the peaceful thing will not be able to deliver freedom. The reason is that oppressors don't release power of the oppressed just because you are begging and writing or sitting down to discuss. They don't listen to that. So there has to be an antithesis. So that's why the militant wing of ANC rose up. And when they made places like Soweto and God Never and a lot of places were boiling, finally, Boten or Bota and all those other appetite rulers. Father, after it took time, they released the ones that are peaceful. Mandela initially got a little involved with this, but finally he got this revelation of whatever and stayed on this side. And they brought him out and handed him power. A lot of the people here died. And when he came out, the final got here, he said, what he wants is not vendetta. He now has power. Instead of going for revenge, like some of these people were trying to get, he said, no, what I want is an orange nation built on forgiveness and all of those values that are eternal. And that was why he united South Africa and moved them forward. God is not true with the black race. Because of that, he's not true with Nigeria. We are just starting our season. Can I hear you say amen? We are just beginning stage of our season. And this season and the glory that is coming with it belongs to the youths of Nigeria. I'm on the side of righteousness. I'm on the side of good. I'm on the side of God. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. You are my strength when I am. You are the strength. You can go. God bless you. Can somebody stand behind him? You, can you stand behind him? Come, come. I know he is waiting for something, especially that one. Stand behind him. Stand behind him. Okay, God bless you. Okay, peace, peace. Lift him up. You guys can go. Sit down for 1 minute. Let me show you. I want to close with this scripture. Please, Anambra, your motto here is home for all. Is that correct? Yeah? Abia. Abia is home for all. No, God's own state. This one is what? Okay, light of the nation. When did you change it? Okay, you didn't inform us. Lagos is center of excellence. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. Exodus 22, verse 21. I want to show you something. You say you are Jews. You came from Jewish whatever. Now, these are Jewish values. There's a book called The Jewish Phenomenon. So you see some of the values that made that nation an outstanding nation.
This is one of them. You shall neither mistreat a stranger. Whenever the Bible uses the word stranger, what they mean is foreigners, other people that come from another place that live in your land. Never mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were a stranger where? Let me give you one more verse. There are so many that God said about this. Deuteronomy 7 verse 17. Deuteronomy 10 verse 17. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality, nor takes bribe. Eh? So look at what he said. He administers justice for the fatherless, the widows, and loves what? Giving him food and... So the next verse said, therefore, love what? For you were what? I want people here, Anambra State, to be known exceptionally for how they treat people that are not from this state, that are non-Igbos. If you say what the North is doing is wrong, show the superior value. Show the superior value. If you say you have not met God, show that superior value. No nation builds its greatness by just one homogeneous group. Because just like individuals are not an island, you don't have all the gifts, you don't have all the talents, you don't have all the wisdom. You see in part, you prophesy in part, you need others. That's how it is with people groups. The Igbos might be too much with entrepreneurship, powerful with industrialization, but there are other things you need that are not within your giftings. You will have to let, that's why the most powerful nations were the summation of different people groups. For example, why are they be giving this law? Don't maltreat Egyptians. When they were living in Egypt, the Bible said a mixed multitude followed them. Do you know who they were? Egyptians. When they got to the promised land, they settled with them. Apart from that, Egyptians traveled down there for business or whatever things. Then they got halfway in their journey. The brother of Moses' wife, Hobab, and his family members followed them. They guided the Jews and they got to the land, promised land, and settled. Remember, when they got to the land of Jericho to conquer that land, there was a harlot, Rahab. Her family was saved. They followed the Jews, went to the promised land, settled. And of course, Jesus came from the lineage of that woman. There were different people groups. If you go to a place called Samaria, that one was a mixture of people from different places. So God was telling them, even though I'm building a holy nation, a special nation, there are other people among you. Don't maltreat them. Be exceptional in the way you treat other people. I want to show the biblical road is the road that leads to redemption. There is an alternative road. It's broad, though. You know, principle sometimes looks like it constrains you, but at the end, it leads you to where you're going. You know, like discipline, like exercise, like dieting. You live long. You live healthy. But there's another road. It's broad and wide. Do whatever you like. Lawless. Nobody should tell me anything. But at the end of the day, it leads to destruction. Lift up your hands for 1 minute. Pray for especially your fellow young people. Pray for the leaders. Pray for elders. Pray for opinion leaders. Pray for people making decisions. Pray for Southeast. And pray for the rest of the nation. Pray for this country. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. They shall prosper that love thee. They shall prosper that love thee.
In Jesus' name.
While you are standing, give me Numbers 15 verse 14. If a stranger sojourn with you, or whosoever it be among you in your generation, and you offer an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord, as you do, so shall he do. But the next verse. One ordinance shall be both for you and of the congregation, and also for what? That sojourn with an ordinance forever in your generation. As you are, so shall the stranger be. God said, don't make a different law. When people want to buy land, you use a different law for the people who are from Anambra and a different law for somebody that came. No, no, no. He said, no, no. Or you use tax and use extreme taxation to kill them. Do you know when God says Egypt, he was talking about the nation that Israel was colonizing, the nation from where they got independence. Do you know that even now, that if truly God is to give Biafra, that Biafrans should respect Nigeria? Huh? How much more now that you are in it? I have learned over the years that at the end of the day, that man that stands for truth collects all the favor at the end. God has said the grace. You can hear the sound from the sky.